Well, we're there in Matthew 6 as we continue to look at the King and His kingdom and focus in on the Lord's prayers. We're looking at this pattern of prayer that we've been looking at for a while, starting out with praying to our Father, and then hallowed be your name and your kingdom come and your will be done, and then give us our daily bread. And then we come to the one today we're going to hone in on, just as we're taking it bit by bit, phrase by phrase: forgive us of our debts. I've tried to play golf at times in my life, not very good at it, but I guess you have to play more. But they say one of the best things to have in your bag, jokingly, is a pencil with an eraser at the end, so you can change your score at the end if you can. But it doesn't work that way. But I remember this story of a guy getting ready to set up for his shot in golf. He's thinking through and he's getting ready, and a voice comes over the loudspeaker from the clubhouse, and it says, "Would the man on the woman's tee please move back to the men's tee?" This guy just ignores it. He's keeping focus for the next shot, preparing for it, getting comfortable, and the voice comes over again in the loudspeaker, and it says, "Would the man on the woman's tee please move back to the men's tee?" And the guy is just trying to ignore it, and it comes over again a third time, "Sir, would you please move back to the men's tee?" And the guy finally stops, looks back toward the clubhouse, and he shouts, "Would the person up in the clubhouse quietly, kindly be quiet so I can hit my second shot?" Now, sometimes we feel that way in golf. I know I have. And you're just trying to hide, you know, and people don't. You don't want people to know your struggles, your failures, your sin. And this is the way we are in our pride. And this is what this part of the Lord's Prayer gets at, that we come to God to deal with our guilt. We come to God as Christians to deal with our struggles with sin, our shortcomings, our sin and failures, and not to hide it, not to deny it. So that's the question we need to think about as we come to praying this part of the Lord's Prayer, this pattern, forgive us of our debts. How do you deal with your struggle with your sin, with your guilt on a regular basis? Do we really understand how God's grace and forgiveness really works as we pray, especially, to transform our hearts and our lives to grow to love God and obey Him more and more? Well, that's what this part of the Lord's Prayer really hones in on as we pray it as a pattern in our daily lives. Remember, it's not just something we say, but we pray it. It's to affect what we pray about. There's a whole host of things that are, as you'll see today, come under the heading of praying with this part of the Lord's Prayer, forgive us of our debts. And we're going to focus on the first part today, this Sunday, forgive us our debts, which is really more about experiencing on a vertical level, if you will, with God, His forgiveness and grace for us in Jesus Christ. How do we come in prayer and we're transformed by His grace and we experience that grace? Then next Sunday, we're going to focus on the second part of this, and that is forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. So that focuses more on the horizontal level, if you will, how that experience with God and His grace and knowing what He's given us in Christ will then affect our personal relationships and how we forgive others. The power of grace to transform our relationships. And so that's next Sunday. But today we're looking at forgive us of our debts. I like what Warren Wiersbe said. He said, "When we come to the throne of grace, we may have to interrupt our prayers for others to pray for ourselves." But he said, "The Father understands." So we've got to deal with our own struggles, our own need for God's grace, and to grow in Him. And so we pray, you know, a couple weeks ago we looked at give us our daily bread, which of course emphasizes primarily God meeting all of our physical needs. Certainly it's our spiritual needs in that as well. But forgive us our debts here deals with our greatest, deepest spiritual need for God's grace, for His continual forgiveness. So the question is, as we come to the Lord, praying the Lord's Prayer, this one that we say all the time, how do we better understand and pray forgive us of our debts? So I want to, if you look there on the outline, you'll see a couple of applications we're going to look at today, four of them. And that really help us to better understand what it means to pray, forgive us our debts. Number one, we've got to review our sin thoroughly. We've got to review our sin thoroughly. This is part of what it means to pray, forgive us our debts. This is where we start when we pray this part of the prayer. I like what Steve Brown said. He said, I've got some good news and bad news. The bad news is you're a lot worse than you think. So am I. But the good news is God's grace is much, much, much greater than you could have ever imagined. And that's what we have to remember. But where do we start? We have to focus as we come praying, forgive us our debts. We're reviewing our sin. We're saying, God, put the spotlight on my heart. Help me to see where my struggles are, the depth of my sin, my need for your grace, so that I can then confess my sin and experience more of what Christ has done for me. When I pray, forgive me, or forgive us, our debts. So we have to start out with that to begin with, reviewing our sins regularly. It's kind of like I've said before, when you go into the jewelry store and they put the jewelry or the diamond up against the black backdrop, it helps you see the beauty of the diamond, of the jewelry. And this is what the gospel often does. This is the way God's word works. But in prayer, it works that way as well. That we come realizing and reviewing the depth of our sin thoroughly so that we'll then experience God's grace in prayer more deeply. See, a failure to take our sin seriously can lead to all kinds of spiritual problems and failures, not understanding the depth of what Christ came to do on the cross. As we pray, as we draw near to God, that Christ came in the world to die on the cross because of the depths of our sin. And we're meant to grow in experiencing more and more through prayer what that grace is about. But it starts here. To experience the forgiveness of our debts, we must understand more and more just how great those debts that we pray forgive us our debts for, it really are. The depths of our debts. Someone said, in our day there is frustration over debt, but in Jesus' day it was a matter of life and death. And that's the way they looked at debt. You know, we kind of push it aside in our time today. But, you know, if you had a massive debt you had to pay off, you might go see a counselor or an attorney or someone to deal with exactly what you had and how much you owed in that debt. And the truth is, we certainly could never in any way pay off our debt. We know that as Christians. And as the hymn reminds us, we can never really know, as the hymn says, just how much we owe. But we are to review it. We are to reflect and evaluate the depth of our debt and our sin before God as we pray, forgive us our debts. Part of praying, forgive us our debts, regularly involves evaluating the depths of sin. Involves asking God to put the spotlight in our heart to help us to see how much Christ has really and truly He's forgiven us of. We have to understand it. See, God wants us to come through our prayers asking Him to help us see those heart sins, those things that we can push under the rug, that we can live in denial about, so that we get them clear in our heart and in our mind as we pray, so that we can know we're forgiven through Christ as we then see them and know that the blood of Christ and God's grace is applied to those sins. So we can adequately confess those sins and then through prayer experience more and more of His great love for us and the grace He's given us in Jesus Christ. But it begins here. We're not going to grow to experience God's forgiveness in Christ in prayer, praying, forgive us our debts, without reviewing our sin thoroughly, without having that understanding more and more. We're talking about taking a personal moral inventory regularly. When we sit down with God at different times and say, Lord, help me to see, help me to listen, help me to do business with you, help me to be honest with you, to get off by ourselves at times. We all need to do this, don't we? And have a pen and a journal and write down and by yourself say, God, help me to see what I need to see. Clear my mind. Help me to see those sins. Like Psalm 139 says, search me, O God, and know my heart. And test me and see if there's any anxious way within me. Verses 23 to 24. So you don't take, you know, just 5 minutes and say, hey, God, all right, I've got 5 minutes. Now show me this. You know, you have to take the time to do it. I always like the story I'm sure I've told before of a young guy who went to uni. His mom had always done his laundry before and had this big canvas duffel bag, you know. And she said, put your dirty clothes in this every night. And at the end of the week, wash them at the laundromat. Well, a week later, after he started school, He took his dirty clothes to the laundromat, and somehow thinking in these big washers that he just took the whole thing, the bag, and just put it all with powder and the money and put it in the machine, you know, put the money in the money part, but, and then he, you know, started it up, and then it's going thump, 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 thump throughout the laundromat. Well, about that time, he was pretty embarrassed when this girl approached him with a smile on her face, and she said, "You know, I watched you load your washer. I think the clothes would get a little bit cleaner if you actually took them each out of the bag." Now, you know, when we confess our sins to God, just kind of saying, "Hey, God, I'm sorry." But we don't deal with our sin. We don't see what they really are. It's kind of like that. It's sort of like the soap doesn't get on all the parts of that laundry when it's all in the bag, right? It has to be out and then applied to the different parts. And this is what we do when we come to God and we evaluate our sins and we confess them one by one and we experience His grace of those individual sins before God as we come before Him honestly. See, God already knows. I know. He knows all of our sin. Yes, He knows everything about us. It's not about that. It's about us coming and experience more and more of how great His grace is, washing us through the blood of Jesus Christ as we come, knowing that He's forgiven us in Christ. When we pray, "Forgive us our debts," this is the first thing that we're doing. We're getting honest with God. We're getting humble before God. Yes, we're forgiven in Christ. And yes, God knows everything, but we're getting real with God when we come that way and we pray. We agree with God. We confess about our sins and we experience more and more of the amazing love of God in the cross and what Jesus Christ has done. 1 John, we read earlier in chapter 1, it says, "If we claim to be without sin, we're deceiving ourselves." What is John saying? Well, that people can be like this and they're living in a world of illusion. They're in a fantasy world. They're playing a game and they're not deceiving God. God knows the truth. Let's ask ourselves a question. It's very important. What are we pretending somehow maybe to kind of live with in our lives? What are we pushing under the rug maybe right now to just say, "Hey, you know, I'm not going to deal with that," or sort of rationalizing it and that's not a sin and that God, you know, understands. When we know there's grace and forgiveness in Christ to forgive us and to transform our lives. Only God forgives, and only He, we confess only to Him ultimately. But it does help too to have Christians, like James 4 says, that we confess our sins to help us be accountable. You see, the Lord's Prayer, as we've said before, is not just an act, and ultimately an act of private devotion. We don't pray, "Forgive me my debts as I forgive debtors," do we? It's a corporate prayer. We pray, "Forgive us our debts." It's meant to be used together. It's meant to be prayed with the mindset of the family of God around us. And our prayer for God's forgiveness is intended to be offered in unison together. So we pray, "Forgive us our debts," as we pray. And we become more and more in that mindset aware of the sins we're struggling with and the sins against people that we've hurt in our family or in the church. And we have that mindset where we know we're a part of the family of God and there's grace in Christ to forgive us, but we're aware of our debts. We're aware of the sins that we and others commit and the grace of God that we are received as God's people together as a church and as a family. See, there's no point in praying, "Forgive us our debts," if we don't review our sin. And there's no way to truly repent of our sin and turn from it and confess it and experience grace without starting with this mindset. You can see here, can't you, how the Lord's Prayer fits together also. If you think about a couple Sundays ago, what did we talk about? Praying for our daily bread. And these things seem to fit together, don't they? Because praying for our daily bread reminds us of who God is, all that He's given us, that we owe Him everything, and it teaches us, as we then pray, "Forgive us our debts," after that, what sin is really about, and how we are not thankful to the God who gives us everything we have, our daily bread. That's what sin is, isn't it? We tend to neglect that, to trample on what God's blessed us with. And so, We pray for our daily bread, remembering that everything is a gift from God. We're dependent on everything from God. We're meant to be thankful to Him, joyful in Him, and instead, in our pride, we go our own way. That is our sinful nature. That is the heart of our rebellion. And then we pray, forgive us our debts. Aware of that lack of gratitude and that pride that we have that's in our DNA, spiritually, of our sin. So we know we owe it all to God, and this prepares us to pray, forgive us our debts. As we remember life is a gift from God, give us our daily bread, it should cause us to think about what sin really involves. Forgive us our debts. We're evaluating. We're coming with that mindset of reviewing our sin. We owe everything to God. And because we fail, and because instead of being thankful to God, we tend to be prideful and go our own way, and not to be grateful to God and not live our lives for the glory of God, we can see how much we need His grace. We can see what's at the heart of our sins. Because remember, God made us, the Catechism tells us, to glorify Him and to enjoy Him forever. That's the chief end that we have. But instead of being grateful, our nature is pridefulness, isn't it? And so in praying these two things back to back, we should be looking at our lives and realizing, in my life, where am I falling short of that? Knowing that He gives me everything, my daily bread, but knowing that I tend to be full of ingratitude and pride and not thankful to God and prideful, where am I falling short in that? That's the pattern that we have as we pray. Where have we trampled upon the life of God and grace He's given us, not being thankful? God created us to know Him, enjoy Him, and glorify Him, but we tend to reject Him. And that's what sin is all about. What's the middle letter of the word sin? I. I want my way. I'm going to do it my way. I have earned it my way. I have accomplished it my way. Like Frank Sinatra, old Blue Eyes, used to sing, right? Sinatra. I'm not going to sing it, but I did it my way. I did it my way. It's a life of rebellion, not living for God. And the truth is, Adam and Eve, even before the fall, we know they owed their lives to God, right? That was the idea. It was a gift from Him. And then sin entered the world, and everything went the opposite direction. We inherited that nature of rebellion against God. So we don't seek to glorify Him ultimately, except by God's grace changing us as we turn to Him in Christ and are born again. There's a father who quizzed a little boy after the sermon one Sunday at home. He said, "What did the preacher speak on, son?" "Sin," the boy said. And the dad said, "Well, what did he say about sin?" The little boy said, "Well, he was against it." You know, well, there's a little bit more to sin that we need to grasp, isn't it, when we come to the Lord and we come in prayer. We don't realize often how great our debt is, do we? We've got to grow in that, don't we? And knowing how great God's grace is, we have to know how great our debt is. And this is one of the reasons we pray this part of the prayer. Forgive us of our debts. That's our mindset, to know this great debt and what Christ has done to forgive us. Romans 5:19 said, "Through the disobedience of one, Adam, the many were made sinners." We don't just sin. The Bible says we are sinners by nature, rebellious. We don't just sin, we're sinners, we've inherited that bent. And though this is totally impossible and not reality, if somehow we could not sin ourselves, we'd still be guilty and liable for Adam's sin. But of course, we all sin in our own way, don't we, with Adam's nature. Someone said the debt of original sin has been compounded by the debt of our personal sins. So we pray, forgive us our sins, not sin, but in the plural, sins. We're sinners by nature, guilty. And just as you can't, with the laws of the land, claim ignorance as an excuse to break the law, nor can we say, well, I didn't know. No, it's in your nature. It's our nature. And God's made us to be obedient to Him, accountable to Him, and we rebel. So this is why we confess when we come, don't we? We confess sins of commission, clearly transgressing God's law. We confess sins of omission when we omit what God has called us to do. And sins of omission are not like a little boy who one time said, that sins of omission are the sins we forget to do. No, that's not a sin of omission. No, it's what we actually, when we have not done what God has called us to do, to love God with all of our heart, to love others, to be obedient to Him. Think of all the time we have not served the Lord as we should, not loved others, Christians or people as we should, prayed half-heartedly, not spent the time with God that we should. God calls us to love Him with all, love the Lord with all your heart and soul and mind and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. And so we look at this. We come in prayer praying, forgive us our debts, realizing more and more the depth of our debts and in all the areas as we pray this. And that leads me to the second thing, and that's request God's grace regularly. You see it there on your outline. Second thing that we pray when we pray, forgive us our debts, request God's grace regularly, continually. I was pretty amazed by the story I read about Yahya Wahab, I believe he was pronouncing it right. His father passed away in 2006, true story. And Yahya, he had his dad's phone disconnected and paid the final bill of about what he thought was $23 to Telecom Malaysia. But he was then surprised to receive another bill in the mail from this company and shocked, probably fell out of his rocker, we'd say, you know, when he saw the bill for $218 trillion that was owed by his dad, with a threatening letter informing him he had to pay it in 10 days or face prosecution. Well, obviously there had been some major mistake, or someone had done something illegal or stole his dad's mobile. I don't know what happened, but the obvious fact was it was a debt that he could never pay. This is what we remember when we come and pray to the Lord, forgive us our debts. We've reviewed our sins, and then we're requesting God's grace because it's a debt that we could never, past, present, future, ever pay. And we need God's grace, which has been given in Christ, to forgive us. Every time we pray this, we are realizing that debt that we and other Christians owe that is impossible to pay. And we come to God seeking His forgiveness based on what Christ has already done. So we review our sins thoroughly, and then we request God's grace regularly. In other words, as we reflect on how great our debt is more and more, we see how much trouble we are actually in. This is a debt far too vast for anyone to ever pay, except for the one who paid it, of course, Jesus Christ and God. Someone said, how can you ever make up for all the sins you've committed or I have? Yet this is exactly what many people, even religious people, will try to do. That's the danger, isn't it? People who will say they're Christians, but they get caught up in this false idea of religion and what they can do to try to somehow pay the way. But Jesus says, pray, forgive us our debts. We have that mindset every day of knowing our debt and looking to God's grace to know we can never pay that debt. You know, you can ask those questions of people, the evangelism explosion ones. You know, if you died and stood before God and He were to say, why should I let you into heaven? What would you say? And people will like to give their resumes, right? Often I found when I did that years ago. Of all the things that they've done, you know. And maybe somehow God will let me into heaven, you know, because I've had bad things, but I think the good things will erase the bad things somehow, you know, or outweigh the bad things. They imagine their life like weighted scales, you know, that you can somehow outweigh the bad with the good. But it does not work that way. That's why Jesus says, pray, forgive us our debts. We request God's grace. It can be like a person floating down a river towards a waterfall about to die, and someone throws out a solid rope, and the person on the raft says, well, I'll just hold on to this log, this raft, even though it's going to eventually take them over the waterfall. They think somehow in their pride, spiritually, people will think, you know, and be deceived into thinking they can still do something to deal with their problem, with their ultimate problem of sin. Even though they've been in churches for years, they would say they're Christians, but somehow they think they will make up for it by their religion, by their good deeds, by their good deeds outweighing the bad things. But that's not what Christianity is. I hope you know. The idea might be kind of, Lord, well, you know, I know I've sinned, but I'm really trying to be a good Christian. I'm trying harder. You know, haven't you seen the good things I'm doing? I'm going to church more. I'm putting more in the plate. That's all good things to do. Don't get me wrong. I'm doing charitable work. You know, I've got this bad list, but I've tried to be better. But that's not what God says. When we come and pray, forgive us our debt, we are requesting His grace in light of our great need for grace. And we come and we don't bargain with God. We don't bribe God. Somehow I think, well, I'll be better, Lord. You know, I'll do better. I won't do this again. That's never what God says to do. He says, believe. Look to me and repent and believe in my promises and what I've given you in Jesus Christ. Because our forgiveness is never based on what we do or will do or that we deserve it. Because we never will. Forgiveness is based on God's character. That He is utterly and totally reliable, and He has provided that through Jesus Christ. And so we request His grace regularly. Our forgiveness is based on who He is and what He's given us through Jesus Christ, not what we've done. Like the story of a pastor and a member of his church made a house call on this rich man, and they were seeking donations for another man who had suffered a heart attack, and this man had no insurance. They were trying to help and couldn't afford to pay his bills. And this rich man greeted them as the minister and this other man went in and described the plight of the sick man who needed help. We're hoping you might have a generous gift, perhaps. And the rich man said, "Who is this man?" And the pastor said, "I'm sorry, but we rarely reveal in any way the names of people in need in the church. In this case, it's difficult for him to admit it." "Well, if I'm going to help him," the rich man said, "I insist on knowing his identity. I'll keep it in confidence. I was going to give $500, but I'll do $1,000 if you let me know." And the pastor said, no, we cannot do it." And the rich man said, "What about $2,000? Surely you won't refuse." And the pastor said, "No." And he said, "What about $3,000? They went on and on. $4,000, $5,000. The pastor said, "Sorry, no, can't do it." And the minister was walking toward the door, and he said, "I should have left long ago. The trust and honor of this man are not open to the highest bidder, regardless of the amount." But before the pastor could leave, the rich man said, "Wait, let me talk to you privately, pastor." And he said, "I recently lost every penny that I had, that I'd saved. I wanted to get help, but I didn't think I could trust people. I didn't want to tell people about how I was a failure." And the pastor said, "Well, I get it now. You were testing me to see, could I be trusted with your secret?" He said, "We'll seek funds for you as well as this other guy, and it'll be kept in confidence." I tell you that story because God can be trusted in everything as we come to Him in Christ and we confess our sin and we pray, "Forgive us our debts." He is faithful, and He is faithful to forgive us and cleanse us. And the Bible says, Psalm 103, "He has cast our sin as far as the east is from the west." So we can take Him and His word and the gospel of Christ to the bank. There's no point in trying to fish those sins back up. God doesn't hold them over us if we're in Christ. And He is fully reliable when we come to Him. 1 John says, when we confess our sins, meaning agreeing with God about those sins, and we trust in what Christ alone has done in His finished work to pay for those sins once and for all. What does 1 John say? He is faithful and just, based on Christ's finished work, to cleanse us of all unrighteousness. You know, that word confess in the Greek language is the word homologeo. It's the combination of the word same and the word for word or language. It means to speak the same. Homologeo. When we confess our sins, we are speaking the same before God about our sin. We're confessing them. We're agreeing with God, speaking the same. Confession of our sin, when we pray, "Forgive us our debts," and request God's grace, it is not saying to God, "Well, I'll be different." Ultimately, it's not that. I won't do it again. No. That's not ultimately confession. It is saying, "God, I agree. This is sin. You are holy. Christ has taken the punishment for this sin, and I trust in you, and I agree this is wrong. And my mindset, I want to be different." That's repentance, ultimately. And I look to Christ to forgive me and change me, and to know I'm forgiven in you. And I agree that this sin is against you as a holy God. I speak the same with you. It's not saying, I'll make myself different. I'll never do it again. It's saying, God, you were right. You are right, Lord, and I'm wrong. Speaking the same. Ryken said, the truth is forgiveness is not something we can ever work for. That is why we pray, forgive us our debts, as a regular pattern of prayer. That's what Jesus says. We pray this way every day. Forgive us our debts. Keeping short accounts with God. Every time we pray, Ryken said, this is only something we can ask God for. This is what we do every time we pray this part of the prayer. I always like the story of the young man who sent a letter to his dad from university. He was broke at the time. And he thought about sending a letter that really said, Dad, I need money, send money, help. But he thought, well, that'd be too obvious. So what this young man did, he was kind of creative. He wrote an ordinary letter, but wherever the letter S came up in the sentences, he used the dollar sign with his computer to make the point. And the dad somehow in the story got the point, you know, and he sent money, he sent help. See, every part of this prayer is pointing to the truth that for a true Christian, we are God's children. Remember, we pray, God our Father, all-powerful Lord that we pray, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. We are dependent on him for everything, our daily bread. And now in this, we are asking for what you can only do, God, our greatest need, and that is forgiveness. That is your mercy. Richard C., the Puritan, said, there is more mercy in Christ than sin in us. Remember the story of the prodigal son? You know the story well. What a great picture of God's grace, the Father's love. And we know that son, the youngest, blew all that he had. He wanted to have all his inheritance. He went away and blew it on lavish living. The son owed all that he had to his dad, but instead of gratitude and faithfulness, what did he do? He lived wildly. Was almost, you know, he's with the pigs. What a picture of sin. See, in a way, we need to remember that every time, that story, every time we pray this, don't we? Every time we come to our Father, like the father in that story, when we pray, we remember this son came home, right? He turned and he went back, and the father was waiting with open arms. And the son came to his senses, but remember when he went back home, he was underestimating, wasn't he, the father's capacity for forgiveness. He's going to go back and be a hired hand. Remember the story, Luke 15? I'm not going to be able to be like his son really anymore, you know. And he had the speech all ready to go and to lay out his sin. He was still thinking somehow he'd almost have to work off his debt, you know, and be a hired servant instead of a son. You know, and there are a lot of Christians that can still look at the Father that way when they come to Him, to God. Like somehow, you know, we've got to work our way back, especially when we struggle with sin and lose sight of what this prayer, what Jesus said to pray. Forgive us of our debts. Remember the son in that story, prodigal story? He wanted to work as a hired hand, but he came to his father, came to the house, and the father's running to hug him. You know, imagine that old man running out to hug his son. And he was ready to give that speech, but there was no talk of him being a hired hand. No. What did he do? He said, put a robe on him, put a ring on his finger, kill the fattened calf, throw a party for my son who was lost, is now back home. He was welcomed into the embrace of his father's great forgiveness. Someone said forgiveness means to let go without a sense of guilt, an obligation, or punishment. And that's what we're being reminded of when we pray, forgive us our debts. We're asking for a fresh amount of God's grace, praying for God to forgive our sins and cleanse us, help us to know that grace in light of our great need for His grace, because He is a loving Father who gives us what we need based on Christ's finished work. And He is faithful to forgive us and restore us when we sin, when we struggle, when we fall, and we turn back to Him in faith and repentance. He doesn't charge us more interest in our debt like a credit card company, you know. He doesn't sit down and work out a payment plan so we pay off our debt, does he? He says, pray, forgive us our debts. And that's what God has done in Christ. That's what He continues to do in Jesus Christ. And that leads me to number three.
And that's reflect on Christ's cross as we pray this prayer deeply. Reflect on Christ's cross deeply. What we do when we sing that hymn, when I survey the wondrous cross. Albert Mohler said, if you think the gospel is not present in this prayer, you think again. Now, there's a guy, Tom Allen, I read about. He was a former Army Ranger. He tells of watching that movie, Saving Private Ryan, you know, the one years ago. And in this movie, they're trying to go rescue this Private Ryan. And they have fight after fight, and people are killed along the way. And they finally get to where Private Ryan is. And they say to him, we've come to save you. And Ryan says, I've got to stay here. I can't leave. I'm in this battle, you know. And the Rangers say, we'll stay here with you. We'll fight. And remember, this Army Ranger, who was a real Ranger, is telling this. And they stay in the movie, and almost everyone dies in the story except for Ryan. And at the end, you have one of the main characters, Tom Hanks, who plays him, on the ground. He's been shot. The battle is over, but bullets are still flying. And Ryan leans over to Hanks' character and whispers to him. And Alan says everyone is crying because he was shot. But he said, as a Ranger, I was crying because of what he said. He said, earn this. He said, no Army Ranger would ever say, earn this. Our motto for over 200 years has not been, earn this, but suis fate, the phrase of the Rangers, I chose this. I chose this. I volunteered for this. He said, a true Ranger wouldn't have said that. They would have said, I chose this. You don't pay anything for this. I give up my life for you. That's why I'm in this. So when we think of the cross, Jesus is not ultimately saying in any way earn this, is he? He's not saying, you know, I've done all this for you, now you gut it out for me, ultimately. No, Jesus is saying, I laid down my life for you. It's paid in full. It is finished. If we confess our sins, 1 John 1 says, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins. God justly forgives us because he's already had the price paid fully, hasn't he? The debt's already canceled in full through the work of the Son. And every time we pray, forgive us our debt as Christians, we are reviewing how great the debts are and were, requesting God's grace, which alone forgives us, and then we are reflecting on the depth of God's love that has been secured and forgiveness secured through the cross once and for all. Ryken said, the debts we ask God to forgive when we pray this are the very debts that the crucified Christ, that were crucified with Christ when he died, and all the debts are canceled. He's cast our sins as far as the east is from the west. Someone said, you know, from Psalm 103, where that verse is, you can measure the distance from the north to the south pole, but of course you cannot measure from east to west, can you? And that's how far he's canceled our debts. And remove them from us if we have faith in Jesus Christ. And every time we pray this, we are resting in that truth of who Christ is and what he's done for us. And we know we never deserve it, but we're humbled by it. And we know Jesus has paid it all. Someone said Jesus' sinless life meant he didn't have these payments to make for his own sin, of course. So he then alone could offer the perfect sacrifice to God. Once and for all. And he has. Once and for all. We read it in Ephesians earlier. Chapter 1:7. In him we have redemption. Through his blood. We have redemption. Purchased out of our sin. Because of the blood of Jesus Christ. Once and for all. And we remember that as we pray this prayer. We know we're forgiven. I like the story of this Christian. Who many years ago. Was confined to a bed. And. Yet he had great joy, even in all the trials that he faced. And one day a visitor asked him, well, doesn't the devil ever tempt you to doubt God? And he said, oh, yes, of course he does. I lay here and he'll get me to question or try to get me to question. Why is God allowing this? If God is good, why am I going through this? But you know what I do? When he tries to do that, the enemy, that's when I take him to the cross. And I point to the deep wounds of my Savior that he paid for me and his great love for me. And I say, yes, he does love me. And he said, every time I do that, he has no answer. He runs. We sing, it is well with my soul, don't we? And in one of the verses is, my sin, not in part, but in the whole, is nailed to the cross and I bear it no more. Praise the Lord, O my soul. Christ has wiped it away, taken it out of the way. Colossians 2 says, nailing it to the cross, paying that final and full debt for us. And we remember that as we pray it. And then finally, number 4, we renew our repentance daily. This is actually a phrase the Puritans coined, renewing repentance, renewing your repentance. You might say, well, but you're clear, Ben. You know, the Bible's clear. You trust in Christ, you're completely forgiven. Yes, we are forgiven once and for all. And there is a sense in which repentance and turning from sin is a one-time thing, in which we turn from sin when we are born again and we're renewed and we trust in Christ alone in that one-time sense. But there is also a renewal of repentance, a continual growth in repentance. And this is part of what we're doing when we pray, forgive us our debts. We are renewing daily our repentance, renewing our repentance. We're asking God to apply the blood of Christ afresh to us so that we'll change, that we'll grow, and we'll know all of what He's given us. I mean, if you only took the garbage out from the kitchen once a month, it wouldn't be a very good smell, would it? Even just once a week. And sometimes our sin get like that, don't they? They get piled up and they start to stink. The resentment gets worse, the bitterness, the coldness. And we don't even maybe know at first what it is. But this is why we come to God like this, praying for Him to forgive our debts, renewing our repentance, turning from sin. What people have called often before, keeping short accounts with God. Daily, regularly, coming to the Lord. Picture a family that's just moved into a new house and landscaping is not done. There's mud all around this new house area. And the children have been warned to stay out of it, but the temptation's just too great. And soon their clothing is stained with all of the mud. They go to the back door, they ring the bell, mom comes, answers. Now, are they acceptable in that muddy state? Of course not, to come in the house. But are they accepted by the parent and parents? Well, absolutely, because they belong to the parents, to the father and the mother. So the mom cleans them up, disciplines them. They start to know more of the importance of cleanliness and what it means to be in the presence of the parents and in the house. So this is what we're talking about in a much, much greater level with God. We're walking, like 1 John 1 says that God is light, right? And there's no darkness in Him. And it says that if we confess our sins, we don't deny them, and we know that Christ has forgiven us, and we turn from them and confess them, He'll wash us and cleanse us, and we'll walk in the light in Jesus together. And that's what we're called to do. As we ask for God for daily bread, that includes our spiritual needs as well. You know, a great picture of this is, of course, in John 13, when, you know, Peter did not want Jesus to wash his feet. But Jesus said to Peter, "You'll have no part of me if I don't wash you." But then what did Jesus say? He said, a man only has to have a bath once, but he has to have his feet washed every day. And oh yes, in that culture, there were dirty feet. We think about it today. And Jesus is making the point between when we are trusting in Christ, we know we're forgiven, we're saved, but we have to continually have our feet washed. Meaning, we have to grow in sanctification, we struggle with our daily sins and the corruption of the world, and our struggle with our sin in our heart, and we come praying this prayer, forgive us our debts. And God washes us, and He helps us to grow in His grace as we review our sins and reflect on the cross and renew our repentance. And we do this continually as we pray this part of the prayer, and we come to the Lord. Let's turn to Him now as we close. Gracious Lord, we come before You thankful for Your amazing grace and Your love in Jesus Christ. We're thankful, Lord, that if we are in You, Lord, we're new creations and nothing will separate us from Your love, Lord. Even when we struggle with sin, even though our fellowship and communion can be broken at times or not what it should be, Lord, we know that we're Your children in Christ. But yet we're called to come back to You. We think of David in Psalm 51 who had sinned and he asked for God to wash him according to His mercies, to renew in him the joy of his salvation. Lord, we need that grace and that experience of Your love in Jesus every day, every week. Lord God, we know especially at certain times, Lord, we need that when we know that we've strayed in different areas. So, Lord, we come to You now knowing that in Christ the price has been paid in full And knowing, Lord, that you are a God who is faithful to your promises that are yes in Jesus Christ. So we come to you now asking for your grace that we'll grow to know that great love and that forgiveness, Lord, and that others around us will know it as well as we pray for you to forgive us of our debts. And we know those debts are canceled through the cross, through the resurrection. So we look to you and we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.